This is Holiday Readings and Remembrances, a series of reflections on the season by members of the Northern Michigan University community and local and area residents. Today's reading comes from Dorothy Maywood Bird, author of many books about the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and read by Lynn Emmerich, the author of numerous books with her husband Lon, active in promoting writing and publishing in the Upper Peninsula. Lynn will be reading A Christmas Remembrance from an interview from the Mining Journal in 1978.
Dorothy Maywood Bird was a longtime resident of Marquette and a special friend to many here. The daughter of a Methodist minister, she lived in a home on North Front Street with a bay window where the Christmas tree always stood. During many years in Lansing, she raised three children, served as Dean of Women at Lansing Community College, and started her series of popular young adult novels set in the Upper Peninsula, including Granite Harbor. After she moved back to Marquette, she started the first writers' group in the area and was the guiding light in the successful fight to keep Little Presque Isle from industrial development. In 1978, Vicki Norman of the Mining Journal interviewed her for a Christmas Past series. This interview is aired with the permission of the Mining Journal. What was Marquette at the turn of the century? There were no cars rushing from mall to mall in Marquette then. There were no malls. There was only a forest fringing a very young town that, she said, was very, very elegant. Dorothy Maywood Bird, 79, was only a child, but she still remembers Marquette Christmases around the turn of the century. It was a boom town. Men had come and made great fortunes in logging and in the mines. They had stayed. They had built great mansions along the harbor. The daughter of a Methodist minister, she lived in a parsonage on Front Street. But not far away, just down the street, in fact, was the Peter White Library, a building that left no doubt in any newcomer's mind of the fabulous wealth in the town. And then down the hill was the much-talked-about courthouse, with a huge copper dome. The forest was within easy walking distance. At Christmas time, Dorothy Maywood and her mother and father strapped on their snowshoes and off they would go in search of a tree. They hauled it back on foot. Everybody did that. Everybody walked. Few people had even horses and buggies and sleighs, Mrs. Bird said. She and her parents were of what she called the middle class. At Christmas time, what happened in the Maywood household was typical of what was happening in houses all up and down the street. Cut so it would just brush the ceiling, the Christmas tree was put in the sitting room. The living room was called a sitting room in the house. You had a parlor in front and a sitting room behind. Everybody had the same thing, Mrs. Bird said. Sure, the family had electricity, but Christmas trees were still decorated with candles in petal-shaped cups. Icicles were made of real glass, twisted, that you could hang on the tree with a slender thread. There were tiny glass birds and horns with spun glass tails. Outside, she recalls, the snow was already up to the window pane. But inside, the wood stove in the kitchen was always warm from baking dishes like pumpkin pie, the specialty of her grandmother. It was served with real whipped cream, scraped from the top of the milk pan. No matter how much baking there was to do, there was always time for calling around Christmas time. Dorothy Maywood's mother dressed up and pulled on her white kid gloves that always smelled of gasoline since she washed them herself. We were part of the middle class, as I suggested, but my mother had engraved calling cards, Mrs. Bird recalls. The cards were left in card trays that were part of the entertainment around the establishment, around the neighborhood on Front Street. Or, if the weather were fine, the family might take the streetcar down to Presque Isle for a winter picnic. The streetcar was fun in other ways, too. She remembers that the thrill of sailing down Pine Street on a flexible flyer was from avoiding the streetcar that skimmed along Hewitt Street, its whirling brush like a mustache clearing away the snow. According to Mrs. Bird, the great thing about a flexible flyer is that the sled could be steered. It was the present one Christmas. You didn't have a great pile of them. You just had a few, she said. The presents were very, very few, and so exciting because they were few and so much love went into them. The red bedroom slippers with lamb's wool soles made by her grandmother were not just another gift under the tree. They were an event, just as the chalice dress with full skirt and black satin ribbons was an event, made by her mother. In return, Dorothy Maywood presented some little item that she had crocheted. "I'm sure it was very different," she said of those Christmases past compared to Christmas now. "It was very different in that we had very little in a material way. The Christ child seemed closer to us then. But at 79, Mrs. Bird gets the same feeling sometimes." She stood and walked over to a basket, bulging with Christmas cards. She doesn't remember giving or receiving cards in Marquette at the turn of the century. "That's the only improvement we have today over that simple Christmas we had long ago," she said. "Each one when I open it, I talk to the person and I say, 'Oh, how nice that was.' It keeps all those friendships alive."
Holiday Readings and Remembrances is a production of Public Radio 90, WNMU-FM Marquette. If you'd like to hear today's feature again or share it with a friend, go to WNMUFM.org. I'm Kurt Hosworth. Happy Holidays.